The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You can give me a call at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is help on the way for the Lakers? The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You heard from Jordan Schultz, NBA NFL insider analyst here at ESPN, in the first hour of this program. He doesn't think the Lakers getting out of the West. Forget about winning a championship, because you got to take it slow with an Achilles injury. Even if it's not ruptured, you still have to be careful with it. So he doesn't anticipate AD will be at 100%, even 80% of AD. Maybe you can get out of the West. You know, the Clippers are going to be very tough. The Jazz are going to be tough. They have been all year. Ultimately, I think if AD is 80% and they have LeBron at 100% and no other injuries, the Lakers can get by Utah. Clippers might be something else now that they have Rondo organizing that offense in the playoffs. And then the Suns. I think the Suns are live. The Mavericks have been a little disappointing to me this year. A lot of that has to do with COVID and stuff, but okay. The Nuggets. The entire conference might have lucked out because Jamal Murray got hurt. And you never want that to happen. But whew, if Jamal Murray stays healthy, the Nuggets would have been a problem. But they're not going to be because he's not. Lakers are really looking at the Jazz, Suns, and Clippers. I don't think the Blazers or the Nuggets or the Mavericks or obviously the Grizzlies or the Spurs or whoever it's going to be at eight are going to be a problem. I mean, they may be a problem, but the Lakers will beat them, even if AD's not at 100%. The Jazz, the Suns, and the Clippers. That's who you got to watch now. And what percentage of AD do the Lakers need? What does he have to come to? Like, is his full self? And then even then, do the Lakers get by those three teams or, two of those three teams? Depending on how the playoffs shake out? Talen Horton-Tucker and Montrezl Harrell were good off the bench last night against the Celtics for the Lakers. And the Lakers have featured a different leading scorer in each of their previous six contests. It shows you that the team has played as you'd want role players on a team that's top-heavy with two dominant MVP-caliber players to play, right? Move the ball. Everyone can be the hero on a different night. Make the right basketball play. But you're going to need firepower. And soon. And, the good news is AD's coming back. The question is, not only is what percentage of himself, but, the reason AD and LeBron were so devastating. You had the best player in the game in LeBron. I thought to start the season, Kawhi got him now. He didn't. And the best big in the game in AD. I thought, maybe that's Giannis. It wasn't. LeBron, when healthy, I'm going to assume is still going to be the best in the game in the playoffs. He'll be better than Embiid or Harden, who I think were the best players in the regular season. He'll be more valuable than Jokic or Lillard, who I think were the most valuable players. Not that best and most valuable mean the same thing. Best and value are the same thing. But even though people try to make them something different, they're not. But in this case, there's a difference because while Harden and Embiid have been the best players, they've missed so much time that their overall value is diminished compared to Lillard and Jokic. But, LeBron got to show once again in these playoffs. He's the best player in the game. And AD, is he even the best big? As I said in the first hour, it was on Basketball Reference this morning. Embiid has an offensive rating of 123. That means points per 100 possessions, a defensive rating of 103, and a 35.1% usage rate, meaning they've started tracking these numbers since 73. That's when they had the data for it. No one has hit all three of those numbers in a season, ever. He'd be the first if he could end with those numbers. Number two on the list is Michael Jordan at the age of 24. Number three on the list is Michael Jordan at the age of 32. Number four on the list is Kevin Durant at the age of 25. And number five on the list is Michael Jordan at the age of 27. Embiid is one. He's raised his game. I don't know if he'll end the season that way. He's missed a lot of games. I'm not saying he's as good as Jordan or Durant, but he's won. Is AD still the best player in the game? Game for game so far this year, it's been another big. Embiid. Overall this year, because he hasn't missed time, it's been another big. Jokic. And the reason Antetokounmpo is not getting more consideration is he's won two in a row and then fizzled out in the playoffs, so he ain't going to get it again. But he's right there. Don't the Lakers need LeBron to be the best in the game and AD to be the best big? Do you even get out of the West, let alone win it, especially if the Nets are healthy? That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Andre in Massachusetts. Go ahead, Andre.
What's going on, Max? How you doing? My sympathies for your auto issues there.
Yes.
But to the business, concerning AD and the Lakers, my view is they're living off a reputation right now in the West. Because the fact of the matter is, the Lakers are four games from falling into that eighth spot, falling into the play-in round. And the primary issue point that I want to make is this. You talked about AD in the all-time conversation. AD cannot be mentioned in Tim Duncan or Karl Malone's the same sentence until he gets himself another championship. And this is the year.
Malone doesn't have any championships.
Okay, yeah, but Malone is the second all-time leading scorer, and he has the longevity. Okay, I'm old school. Okay, people don't want to put respect on John Stockton's name. All-time leader in assists, all-time leader in steals, played for one team. We need to put some respect on the old.
Stockton and Malone, you could put respect on their name, and they deserve it. But I'm just saying, you know, if they were uppermost tier, then together, especially since they had Hornacek and a great coach, they don't want a championship, at least one. I mean, Jordan went away for 2 years, and they didn't win it. Houston did for those 2 years. I'm just saying, like, let's get realistic. I Malone had a longer and more consistent career, but at their best, I'll take AD over Karl Malone, to tell you the truth. And I know Malone never got to play with LeBron, probably would have won a championship if he did, but still. All right, look, Rob in New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hello.
Yeah, Rob.
Yo, Max, thank you for taking my phone call.
Yeah.
Listen, I got to tell you something right now. I've been through exactly what you've been through, so remember this number, 256. That's $256 in parking tickets that you got to take care of, otherwise they boot you.
No, but this is, okay, so here's what it is. I had a $65 parking ticket, and then I got two $65 parking tickets. I paid them all, but online. So, like, it takes a while to process, I guess. But so maybe that's what it is. They're taking so long to process the payment that they then put a boot on my car.
Yeah.
That hardly seems fair. That hardly seems fair. Now, I don't know how the working man does it. I'm not pretending I'm a working man just because I have a job. I get it. You know, if I could pay these tickets, it's not going to upset my disposable income for the month. But I just do the math. Like, who had the time, a working person, to take, what are you going to take a half a day off work to go to the pound and get your car? And then you got to pay $500 altogether for a parking ticket because the city is late processing stuff? But the reason, really, I can't complain, it's not that, well, I parked in it, I shouldn't have been parking there. It's that I've gotten off on a couple of, cops have let me off twice recently. I have had no issues, speeding, parking, nothing for years, but twice recently. So, you know, I'm even Steven, I guess. I don't know. We have Mike Tannenbaum coming up in a matter of moments here on the Max Kellerman Show. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm serious, Raj. Like, you work construction something, you have a blue-collar job, you're making a living, but, like, what's your disposable income for the month? That normal person could afford $400 out of nowhere. And then you got to go like 100 miles, even if it's in another place, it's, you know, miles away in the middle of the workday. How do people do it?
I don't know. Then you got to try to afford Taco Tuesday and Wild and Out Wednesday and Turn Up Thursday. Those things ain't free, Max. So you sometimes got to make sacrifices in life.
I guess. You get one. If Raj Groves gets one parking ticket, no Taco Tuesday all month.
Mm-mm. Can't have it.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN front office insider, here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, here on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike, you there?
Max, how are you? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, sir. So, look, I don't mean to make everything with the draft racial recently. However, It, you know, if Trevor Lawrence, okay, he said what he said. I remember, you know, Trevor Lawrence saying, you know, basically he and his father saying he doesn't like live and breathe and sleep and die with the idea he must win the Super Bowl. I remember KD making comments like that years ago when he was in OKC. And what he's shown is not everyone has to be like Michael Jordan and Larry Bird and Kobe Bryant and Tom Brady, like maniacal about it to be great. But usually they do. He raised my eyebrow here. I take it, Mike, that he's talking about process and not result. But if Justin Fields had said what Trevor Lawrence said, what do you think would have happened?
Yeah, boy, asking a really interesting question. I got to tell you, I was a little, and look, I don't want to overreact here. I would take Trevor Lawrence in a heartbeat. I was a little alarmed by those comments, Max, just because of the Andrew Luck situation. And I actually think Justin Fields, in my opinion, Max, has shown more toughness in this regard. They're both from Georgia. They both went to schools very close to home. One went to Clemson, one went to University of Georgia. I was at practice the first day that Justin Fields transferred, and he went to Columbus, Ohio, didn't know anybody, and he excelled. So if we're sitting in a draft room, Max, and we're talking about these two guys, you can make a really good case that Justin Fields has shown more grit, perseverance, and mental toughness so far than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, now, I bring it up because when people talk about like white privilege, it's like, well, wait, what does that have to do with white privilege, right? But that's the point. It's like it's invisible to white people especially. And people, my point about that is always, I ain't giving that up. I'm like, I ain't giving that. I just insist that it extends to everyone. Everyone should be so privileged, right? And so my point is not that Trevor Lawrence should not be the number one overall pick, but it seems to me if Justin Fields had said that, there'd be maybe like his draft stock would actually fall. Now, from Trevor Lawrence's, from the point of view of like analyzing Trevor Lawrence, he's 6'6". He has a great arm. He's real fast. He's athletic. He's shown grit, Mike, in the sense that I saw him throw some interceptions the year after they won the championship, I guess it was 2 years ago, and he made tackles in the open field, like the way Roethlisberger used to, right? Like he's a football player. So I see that he can do everything, and maybe a guy like that is really basically saying, guys, I'm not looking at the destination. I'm looking at the journey. I'm paying attention to my process. You guys can worry about the destination. I'm just trying to be the best I can be and let the chips fall where they may. Do you read it that way? Because you said that, like, you know, it does raise eyebrows.
Yeah. I think it comes back to what a little bit of what Jimmy Johnson said a generation ago, Max, which is, hey, I want players in football. And look, nobody's a bigger expert in boxing than you are. And I think a lot of the same principles apply, which is it's really hard. And Jimmy Johnson said, in football, I want people with no parachutes, meaning you're going to be successful or die trying, and you had no other way. And the only parachute that Trevor Lawrence has, and it's a deserved one, is a golden parachute. And at some point, if it gets hard, if he's coming back from an injury, you know, would he maybe end his career prematurely? And I think we're going to be seeing a new generation of athletes that, candidly, Max, are going to be able to afford to do it. And again, I don't hold it against them. I don't begrudge them. But if I was a GM and I saw those comments, and after what I saw with Andrew Luck, it does make you pause.
Talking to Mike Tannenbaum here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN NFL front office insider, of course. That's really interesting, Mike, because we should want to live in a world where athletes don't wind up brain damaged after their careers, right? It's a more civilized place to live in. And yet, at this point, we're still at a moment, like you talk about boxing. I remember calling a fight, Victor Ortiz, who's a hot prospect, fighting Marcos Maidana, and was winning the fight, dropped Maidana, the whole thing. Maidana gets up and hurts him, and Ortiz was still in the fight, and he quit. And I remember thinking, look, I get it. You know, I might do the same thing. A reasonable person might. It's not worth risking your life. You could die in there. It's not your night. Pack it in. On the other hand, to be a great fighter, you have to be irrational about that. You have to be willing to make it life or death in a full contact sport, especially in a combat sport. But football is full contact. And it must put, I imagine, Mike, executives in awkward positions that way, where you're really looking for players willing to die for a football game, I guess, right?
Yeah, and I'm not sure if I would use the word die, but look, I've been around it my whole life, and you know, and I can speak, you know, firsthand, like for me, like football changed my life. And obviously I had to put my body physically in harm, but I sacrificed everything to get to where I am. And a lot of people that I knew and grew up in the business, coaches, players, front office, like you sacrifice everything to better yourself. Obviously, players take it to a whole nother level because there's a physical aspect that they pay a dear price for, and that's why they should be taken care of. And hopefully, you know, our sport has done a better job of that. But again, like that mindset, and again, it needs to be a more reasoned, enlightened mindset. I think there's still parts of it that apply, which is you want people that are quote unquote all in, that'll sacrifice whatever they need to, you know, to win a championship. So when you look to your left or to your right, and Coach Parcells always talked about this, like when you look to your left and your right, if you're the chef, if you're the groundskeeper, if you're the starting quarterback, don't be the person to send us home to win a championship. And that mindset to me, Max, is so critical in the pursuit of a championship.
Talking to Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL office, front office insider for I already said ESPN. Allow myself to introduce myself. I feel like Austin Powers. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Mike, you straddle both worlds, right? Front office executive at the highest level, GM, and also, you know, media commentator, for lack of a better word. And so I ask you this question when I see what's happening with Justin Fields' draft stock, right? First, it's like, well, he's going to be the fifth quarterback taken. Matt Jones is going to San Francisco. Now it's gaining momentum in the press, at least. No, wait a minute. San Francisco might take Justin Fields, like his stock is on the rise, maybe. Is that just we in the media, we're just spinning our wheels? Is this happening only in our own imaginations? Or is there really some smoke here which indicates some fire? In other words, is Fields' draft stock actually falling and rising?
So a couple points. I think what's going on with him specifically is this. I think there's no doubt in my mind, I'm 100% certain in saying this. When Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch walks into the York family, the owners of the 49ers, and say, hey, we want to trade two first-round picks and a third, they know exactly who they want. You can't do that without saying, here's our plan, here's our vision, here's the player we want. I think that would be historically reckless if they would just say, hey, we're going to trade two ones and a three, and let's see what happens. I know in my career, and I've taken some really big swings, I went from 17 to 5 for Mark Sanchez. I've traded for Brett Favre. Like, I've done really big deals. But we knew exactly what we were trying to do. It was thought out. The head coach was on board. The owner was on board. So there's no doubt in my mind they know who they want. With that said, and let's assume for this discussion that it was Mac Jones, they were also smart to go see Justin Fields in Columbus, Ohio. And let me tell you why. No combine. You never know what's going to happen. You want to have as much actionable information on players as possible. And I'll give you a really recent example. 3 years ago in Miami, we have the 11th pick, and it's Baker Mayfield is coming out, and we think there's a chance he could slip. Not likely, but a possibility. We have a private workout in Norman, Oklahoma, just to be ready if that eventuality happens. He goes first overall, and the rest is history. But we would not have been doing our jobs if we didn't do that. So I think Justin Fields is going to be a top 10 pick. I still don't think he's going to San Francisco, and we'll see how it plays out.
It's amazing. It's amazing, Mike, because according to Caesars' William Hill, this is up on ESPN Plus right now, Justin Fields is now the favorite to be the third pick. So the odds makers have him at minus 150. Got to bet $1.50 to win 100. Mac Jones at plus 120. Trey Lance at plus 550. So the fact that he's going up and down in terms of the odds of being the third pick and going to San Francisco, according to what you just said, seems to me to mean this is happening in our own imaginations in the media. This is not actually based on new information, because before he ever made this trade, Kyle Shanahan had to know, I'm taking this guy.
I think that's right. I just can't imagine you could give up that sort of draft capital, Max, and not know exactly what you're doing. And here's the other thing I will say, which is, let's just say there's three people trying to decide which quarterback. That's going to be Kyle Shanahan, the head coach, John Lynch, the general manager, and a gentleman named Adam Peters, who does a great job. He's their personnel director. There may not be unanimity amongst those three. Quite likely, one of the three may not agree with the other two. And that's healthy, and that's natural. So the fact that they're checking these other boxes, again, is just part of the process.
Yeah, and maybe we got some bad information early on, and now the information's getting better. But at any rate, it seems to me that Mike Tannenbaum is right, that they know who they're going to pick. And the question is only, did they know from the beginning it's Mac Jones or Justin Fields or possibly Trey Lance? And that was Breaking Moves with Mike Tannenbaum. Always appreciate it, Mike.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
It's Warriors-Celtics tomorrow night on ABC and right here on ESPN Radio. Oh, so good when it's on the radio. You gotta go run an errand. You got to take your kid to practice, whatever it is. You don't miss a thing. Put it on the radio in the car. I think Steph's going to be in the zone. He's been in the zone, huh? Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. Should you return the ring if the engagement is broken off? That is the question. No Doubt is next.
No Doubt.
If you're a business owner who's hiring, it can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. But when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, their matching technology finds these qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So while other companies give you too many options, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address. Ready? ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max. No Doubt coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. No Doubt coming right up. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Tannenbaum joined us on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right, Raj, what do we have today?
Man, we have a birthday in the house, man. Martin Lawrence turns 56 today.
Yep. Yep.
Yo, The Martin Show was one of the best sitcoms in its prime. You had Rome. You had Bro Man. Come on.
No, Martin had a good show. Martin was a good show, but it's not in the up, like one of the best, the upper tier of sitcoms of all time. No. It's not, you know, it's not The Honeymooners or Sanford and Son or Seinfeld or, you know, those, the uppermost tier is different. By the way, those are just the ones that hold up.
Those kind of
like Good Times back in the day was must-see TV, but it just doesn't hold up as well.
It don't hold up, no. Sanford and Son does. That
Sanford and
Son's
still. I still get texts from Michael Thompson, Clay's daddy, just out of the blue sometimes, just minding my business, living my life.
Yeah.
I get a text like once every month or two. A Sanford and Son clip. Okay, what else we got?
We got to get Mike alone next week. We'll talk about it. All right, hey, NFL players should, in fact, exercise their right not to attend in-person workouts.
No doubt. If they don't want to go, they shouldn't go.
No doubt.
You know, if some players feel like it's a competitive advantage, they should go. But they're voluntary workouts. They're not mandatory. What else?
All right, yo, J-Lo hasn't returned the $1.8 million engagement ring after the breakup with A-Rod. Yo, ring should be returned if the engagement is broken off.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Return that ring if the engagement's broken off. You're not engaged anymore. Give back the ring. And you ain't getting married to this dude. No, yeah, give back the ring. $1.8 million on a ring. First of all, what kind of foolishness is this $1.8 million on a ring? Come on, people. I mean, the biggest waste of money are extravagant weddings. I mean, at least a diamond will appreciate. But, like, extravagant weddings and diamond rings and save the money and buy a house. What else you got, Raj?
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, you know our man, Jim McMahon, former Super Bowl winning quarterback with the Bears. You feeling Jim McMahon when he says the Bears are where quarterbacks go to die?
No doubt. And this precedes, this predates the current regime in Chicago. Got nothing to do with Matt Nagy, nothing like that. The Bears in my entire lifetime have never had a really good quarterback. They've only had one quarterback that's ever won the Super Bowl and may have been on the greatest team of all time, the 85 Bears. And that was Jim McMahon. And this dude is saying he had a better time. He prefers the Packers, where he was a third-string quarterback when Favre won the Super Bowl? Oh, my God. Mm. Oh, my God. It's like a knee to the groin if you're a Bears fan. You've already been kneed in the groin. It's like it's so bad you go to the doctor. The doctor says, what's the matter, Bears fan? Oh, I just got kneed in the groin. Let me take a look. And then he knees you in the groin. And the only reason you went to see that doctor is because he was in your family. You know, right? Like, it's Jim McMahon. What's next? Is Derek Jeter going to tell me, a Yankees fan, that he likes the Red Sox better than the Yankees? Like, what's next? 888-SAY-ESPN,
729-3776.
Solomon in Los Angeles, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Yeah, listen, after 37 years of marriage, I've probably learned a few things. Here's the situation on that engagement ring. If she calls it off, and the dude has been the exact same dude, he hasn't messed up, mm-hmm. he's a great guy, she's getting cold feet. Yeah, you know, I don't think he's the one. Believe it or not, women change their mind occasionally. You got to give that ring back.
This is interesting. So the wisdom of Solomon, he's saying split the baby.
But hold on.
No, go ahead.
Hold on. Yeah. But if she's been a doll and she's in it, and she's in it heart and soul.
And he cuts it off, then she gets to keep the ring.
And he cuts it off. Then, dude, you lost a ring.
They didn't. Your parents didn't name you Solomon for no reason. That is a wise verdict. I think he's right, Raj. I think Solomon is right. I think it depends on who breaks it off.
Yeah.
I got to admit it. He's convinced me.
Yeah,
it didn't take much convincing.
And
it seems
one,
fair.
And in this one, word on the street is J-Lo broke it off.
Oh,
so
then give it back, J-Lo. Give back the ring. You break.
Ring back.
No, because that you're right. Because at that point, it's theft. It's robbed. If you got it under false pretenses. We have time to sneak in another call or no? I guess not. All right, I'm going to get to a bunch of calls next segment. Got a parking boot put on my car today. Apparently, I had too many outstanding tickets. Not true. I had one ticket for $65. I paid it immediately that night online. But it takes them so long to process it in New York that they don't count it. So then they gave me two tickets for this parking violation. So altogether, it's over the amount, since they didn't process my last one, that they're going to tow the car. Now I gotta go to Brooklyn. For people who don't live in New York, it's a different borough. It means it's separated from where I live by a river. I got to either go over a tunnel or over a bridge or under a tunnel. Or through a tunnel. I guess I don't go under the tunnel. To get my car back now. And I got to pay him not only $185.
Over a bridge either, I guess.
But then another 180. That's true. But then another $185 because they towed it. But the only way for me to avoid them towing it is I had to show up in person in Brooklyn when I had a job to do. I had to be on First Take this morning. So you can call me with your parking disaster stories if you want. The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in Sunday as the Knicks host the Pelicans, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Even after getting embarrassed with his lack of hip-hop knowledge, Brendan still wants to play crossover. Okay, we'll accommodate you, Brendan. Baseball's back, so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with over 170 live MLB games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com/baseball.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
That's right, right, Max. This is the time of day where we test your lack of rock and roll knowledge against Brendan, our technical leader back there in Bristol, his lack of hip-hop knowledge.
All right.
That's right.
It'll be okay if you just keep the questions to Led Zeppelin, I'll do fine.
No, that's the only rock band you know. I understand that. So Brendan did so. He failed so miserably last time. Now we're going to give him a multiple choice this time.
Yeah, because it was so ridiculous last time. You're comparing Guns N' Roses, who have sold 100 million records. I pull out Fife Dog, which I should have... It should have just been name one member. Name one member. I should have gotten it correct. And you're name two members. You can't compare Guns N' Roses to whatever
Tribe
the hell.
Called
I'm
sure, Quest.
Yeah, I have a Tribe Called Quest. They have not. If they've sold,
you know what? I got to be fair about this. Guns N' Roses was a bigger success by the standards of rock and roll
exactly,
than Tribe was by the standards of hip hop. Although there are different standards because rock and roll has a larger audience historically. What's that?
They wasn't on the Chappelle show. They ain't been in no damn movies, and not recently. But anyway, let's keep going. All right, B. According to Forbes, I'm giving you multiple choice. The first hip-hop billionaire was it Puff Daddy? Was it Jay-Z? Was it Master P? Or was it Dr. Dre? Who was it, B?
Billionaire, you said?
Yep.
Billy with a B.
I'm going to go with Dr. Dre, D.
Give yourself a buzzer. That would be incorrect.
Jay-Z.
Would you like to try and steal it, Max? That's right. Oh, you're brilliant, Max.
But I understand. By the way, Dr. Dre was a good guess because of Beats by Dre. Is that what you were thinking, Brendan?
He is, isn't he? He is a billionaire, right?
Yeah, but Jay, I remember it was a big to-do when Jay hit a billion. I remember that was a big thing.
Yeah, I just remember.
All right, let's move it on. Max. Here we go, Max. Hey, in 1980, what rock and roll band released an album called Back in Black? 1980, rock and roll band released an album called Back in Black. I think I got nothing to do with black, Max. No, it's not. Would you like to steal it, B?
AC/DC.
Brendan, would you like to steal? That's correct. Correct, Brendan. You have redeemed yourself.
I just tried to think of a rock group from 1980. What do I know?
All right. Hey, B, name three rappers with the name Ice in it. I-C-E. Three rappers with the name Ice in it. No help from your peanut gallery back there. I see you, Devin, trying to cheat.
Ice Cube.
This is too easy.
That'd be one.
Ice Tea.
It's too easy because they're all pop culture.
And Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
Hot dog. I knew you'd get Vanilla Ice.
That was an easy one, Raj.
Well this week.
They're all on TV shows, except for Vanilla Ice, who was,
I mean, I love my Law and Order, so I got to get that one.
No,
right?
Vanilla Ice was on TV shows, so they all had, like, popular TV shows.
I'll give you something easy then, Max. You say you love Nirvana. You said you get it. You like that band.
Oh. Yep.
Name me one Nirvana song not called Teen Spirit. One Nirvana song.
I don't remember the names of any songs.
Did you even know the name Teen Spirit?
Yeah, but by the way, I would have struggled to remember it. Smells Like Teen Spirit, I remember. I can't do it. I can't name a single other song. I could identify some songs if you played them as Nirvana, but I can't name them. By the way, I can't even name most songs on like a Raekwon record. I just don't know the names of songs
anymore.
Looks
like I'll be taking the lead as I say all apologies. Okay.
Fine, here we go.
I'm now in the lead, baby.
Okay, B. Hey, B, name me three members of Run DMC, the three members.
You're giving them low-hanging fruit.
Come on, B.
Jam Master Jay.
Now it's over.
Oh my gosh.
But they're very famous, Raj.
So is Nirvana. Be quiet.
What was it? Run guy?
Does that count, Max, or no?
Sure, it counts. I'm nothing if not fair.
Right. You got one more, B. One more.
Let me tell you a little story, and then you'll get it, Brendan. Let me tell you a little story. At Passover, there's something called the afikoman. It's a piece of matzah that the Passover leader is supposed to hide, right? And then the kids are supposed to find it. During or after the meal, right? And my dad's a shrink, and he used to hide the afikoman in plain sight. So we'd be running all over the house looking for it, and it was right there in front of us. So that's your hint.
I can't think of the other guy.
DMC, Run DMC. That's why it was called Run DMC.
By the way, that was hell of a hint.
But what was his name?
It was hidden in plain sight. DMC was his name.
His name was just DMC?
Yes.
I knew it.
And they got Jam Master Jay, Max. That's what kills me.
Well, Jam Master Jay is a big beat blast. You know that.
We should have been named two people.
Did we got time? All right, real quick, Max. Where was Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band founded?
Jersey.
What state? There you go. You got it.
Yay!
I don't know who won. Who do you think won? I think Max won because you couldn't go DMC. Max, you are the winner. Play Max's.
I'm the winner.
Everyone have a great weekend. Yes, you finally won.
I am the winner. Well, I've beaten Brendan once again. Apparently, I know more about rock and roll than he knows about hip hop.
On this, I don't know if he truly did.
I have to admit, I think it was a tie, Raj.
Yeah.
I think that if anything, who in who knows less about? Do I know less about rock and roll, or does he know less about hip hop?
It's pretty close, man. You guys are awful.
It's pretty close. I'm
throwing out some pretty good names here. His questions, you're asking him the simplest stuff. I'm throwing out Jam Master Jay.
He can't even said name who you name the guys dog. And Run DMC. Yeah, it's in I'm the name, out, Brendan.
I'm throwing out great stuff. You can't even name a Nirvana song. Five seconds.
In the name.
Thanks for listening to The Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.